Hello again. Welcome back to another episode of We Are Challenged, where we talk, gossip, and rate the episodes of The Challenge, Battle of the X's. My regular podcast co-host is away in Cuba, jealous. But I have a special guest for you, and I think everyone should be excited. I have Merch Jaffer, who is the former host of Reality Obsessed, currently the chief content officer for InsidePulse.com and a Turo magazine contributor. Merch, thanks for coming on. How you doing?
Very, very excited. I'm happy that you're doing the intro. I feel like I'm just completely changing the flow if we are challenged.
Well, I'm excited to have you on. You are I would
The
call you
world's foremost reality television expert, which is trademarked.
a Well, that's exciting. I didn't know you had it trademarked, but I was going to call you a reality TV guru because I feel like you're not just a challenge guru. You know pretty much every type of reality show, but we have a limited time, so today we're just going to focus on the challenge. What do you
Yes, and I'm very excited to talk about it. I have actually liked what the challenge is doing lately. I've liked the Rivals and the Cutthroat and now Battle of the X's. So I think that one of the things that MTV has really done well is sort of reinvent the challenge. And these last few, I think, have been quite good.
So you like this season in particular?
I like the concept of this season. I mean, do I think that, they're getting exactly what they want out of it? No, because it's a double-edged sword. Like if you do an X's season, you're gonna get the drama that comes from challengers that once dated each other. But what you're not gonna get is a lot of hookups, because obviously they're not still dating for a reason. And so it's what's more valuable to you, couples that are fighting or couples that are having sex. And it depends on what you're after. In an ideal season, you would get both, but I feel like we're getting a lot more of the fighting rather than the hooking up.
I agree wholeheartedly. I think Liz and I have discussed that, how there's not really a lot of hookups. And it seems like Johnny and Camilla and maybe Abe and Cara Marie are the only ones even sleeping together, which is a downside. But I feel like this particular last episode was really good. I liked the fact that there was a drunken fights, there was chair throwing. I feel like both the challenges were really good. What do you think about this past week's episode?
I absolutely loved this last episode. I was actually very excited that this is the week that I'm on because I thought that this episode has been a standout. I think this episode is what the entire season should be because you really had it all. You had Camilla going crazy. You had, in my opinion, what was the best challenge, with them jumping from platform to platform, which I thought was phenomenal. The best challenges are usually the ones that are simple. And I think that this concept was fantastic. It was my favorite challenge of the season. You had the best dome of the season by far. You had finally a little Achilles heel shown in the alliance between Johnny and Camilla. Just an amazing episode from top to bottom. I thought that it was edited well, it moved well. What I really liked, I mean, when I watch a show like this, I like the little subtle moments. And I think the moment that stood out to me was when Emily and Ty were waiting for the other teams to finish the challenge. And Emily was like, "Oh, that's because we actually have a life and don't do these dumb challenges, over and over." And I thought that that was funny because, Emily, I find, is a very pure reality TV character. I remember when I watched her on The Real World, she stood out to me because she was just so pure. She had such a great sort of outlook on life. And the fact that she said that, the fact that she made a little bit of a catty comment, I thought was very entertaining.
Emily has changed a lot over the last few seasons, and I think she's kind of turned into the alpha female. Maybe Laurel would obviously have a say against that, but I am very impressed with Emily. I think she dominated in the dome tonight. The fact that she's getting catty and the fact that she's, maybe getting a little angry at the politics and might start playing dirty herself just makes it all the better, in my opinion.
Well, there's a lot of foreshadowing that happened in tonight's episode too. I mean, if you'll notice, Emily said over and over, "We can't wait for the final. We can't wait for the final. Final, 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 final." Like, why don't you just like plaster it on her forehead that her entire going to the forehead, And so that kind of stuff. I thought that tonight's episode really sort of set the table for what's going to happen. I mean, ultimately, I gotta say that I was a little bit surprised that Mark and Robin decided to put up Ty and Emily. You know, I definitely felt like they were gonna put up Rachel and Anissa, and I think that that might have been the smarter move. I realize that Mark has this like past relationship and friendship with Rachel, but make no mistake about it. You know, Johnny is in control of the house, and so whatever Johnny wants is what Johnny's gonna get. So I thought that was very interesting because I actually was very surprised that Ty and Emily went in. I was completely expecting Rachel and Anissa.
I also figured it was a done deal for Rachel and Anissa to go in. I same reason that Johnny was going to tell Mark what to do. But maybe the cracks in the Johnny Camilla relationship allowed Mark to kind of have his own say. And as you said, he does have this past friendship with Rachel. So yeah, perhaps Johnny, I think. Maybe Johnny was concentrating on Camilla and kind of maybe wasn't there to tell Mark what to do.
Well, here's my thought on the dome in general. Okay, if I was on this challenge and you notice that like Rachel and Anissa went in, you know, and Ty and Emily went in and stuff like that, like I would just keep sending the same team back in because they're already pissed, okay? And I feel like they're going to be more pissed at the team that first set them in to start off their cycle of keep going into the dome rather than put up people that haven't gone in yet, you know? Like, why make new enemies when you can just like keep the same ones? So I would just keep sending Ty and Emily in and Anissa and Rachel in, and I think ultimately that's what's going to happen. You know, like basically Johnny, CT, and Mark are not going to put themselves in. Okay, like it's clear that those three are working together. They have been from the very beginning. The only chance that Ty, Emily, Cara Maria, Abram, Nate, Priscilla, Heather, Dustin, and Leroy and Naomi had was if they had gotten together from the beginning, and they didn't, and you know, the storybook was written.
It's true. There needed to be some early moves done. And part of the problem was that none of those teams did well in the challenges to take the power couple or B, stay out of the dome by not losing. It would have been interesting to see what would have happened had a Johnny and Camilla tanked a challenge and got forced in. I would have liked to have seen that. Maybe it will happen, and I kind of feel like it will happen in the next couple of weeks, where Paula and Dunbar are gonna lose and go in, and that they're gonna try to talk to Johnny and say we want to face blank because we think you have a better chance with that. We always see that in the challenge season. We haven't quite had that yet, where one of the core people goes in because of a loss and then has to try to play politics with their friends to get them to pick who they want to face.
Right. And yeah, I do think that. I mean, ultimately, no team can beat CT and DM or Johnny and Camilla. So it's all irrelevant to me. You know, ultimately, I don't see any of the other teams beating them. So, you know, those two are pretty much a lock, I think. And then, you know, based on the way that the foreshadowing worked with Ty and Emily tonight, you know, I think it's all been written. I mean, do you honestly see Anissa and Rachel, Paula and Dunbar, beating any of these teams?
No, I don't.
Neither
I
do I.
think it's those two teams that you just mentioned were right on my list. I wrote them down that those two teams are the next two to go. Which order it is, I think, is going to have to play with, maybe some politics, maybe some bad luck on one of those teams' parts. But I feel like those are the next two teams to go, unless the only wrench I could see is maybe Mark and Robin. If Robin can be a little crazy, so if Robin throws a wrench in this plan and maybe she just does horribly and then Mark can't, overcome that. I could see that, keeping one of those two teams for another week. But other than that, they're gonna be gone. I can't see them, getting much further than that.
Well, I mean, from knowing all these guys like personally, I can tell you that Mark and Johnny are the closest pair there. So they will not turn on each other. That's not going to happen. You know, I think that the only way that Mark and Robin don't go to the finals is if they lose a dome challenge. Which, you know, I mean, that you are right in the sense that like they're the ones that might lose in a dome. But I think in an ideal world, you know, if Johnny could pick out the final three teams, it would obviously be himself and Camilla, Mark and Robin, and CT and DM. Which doesn't really make a lot of sense. I mean, I don't really want to go in with CT and DM, so I don't really get it.
Well, the problem is that I don't know if you're a fan of Leroy that as much as me and Liz are.
I'm actually not a big Leroy fan.
Of course you're not, because Leroy is not evil, and you like the evil.
It's funny because I was just I just had a great conversation with Heather just a couple of hours ago, and I was just I mean I don't know, I Leroy's I can understand why other people like him, but I
Yeah.
like I like people that like play politics. I actually I hung out with Leroy a lot. We were on a bus ride to Vegas together,
I'm
but
jealous. I love Leroy.
yeah, like I mean DM is certainly my favorite this season.
I think DM's been great, but what I was trying to get at with Leroy was he had this strategy of maybe Johnny, Camilla, whoever the power couple would be, would take them to the final three, knowing that Naomi would do horribly in the final challenge. And that is an interesting idea. It didn't work out because the fact that they kept losing challenges and being forced into the dome. So
Yeah, but
maybe.
that's not realistic. I mean, from a Leroy perspective, that's
Yeah.
great, but the bottom line is you're not going to control every team, and every other team
Yeah.
is going to put you in that dome because you're new. So, I mean, the theory behind it is great, but in actual, practice, that's never going to happen because he's new. They're going to keep throwing them in the dome.
It, yeah, it well, I mean, they didn't even need to throw them in the dome.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because they lost. Yeah, good point. Yeah.
They didn't even need, but they threw themselves in the dome, sadly. But yeah, it is interesting that Johnny and Camilla, Mark and Robin didn't maybe kind of pick a team to, kind of bring under their wings so that they knew that they had a weak team in the finals. Perhaps Paula and Dunbar are that team.
Yeah.
Maybe that's their plan.
Well, I mean, you can't even really write them off because Paula was dominant when she teamed up with Evelyn on Rivals.
It's true. Paula has surprised me a lot this season. For many of the challenges, when I seasons, Paula drives me a little nuts. But this season, I found her a lot more interesting. I feel like she's calmed down a lot because she won last year. It's like kind of made her this, given her a little bit of confidence, and she seems to be the life coach, which is really weird. She's coaching the other insane people, which is,
Yeah, like she did with Camilla.
yeah, and she did with Robin, I think, last week. I like this new therapist, Paula. I think it's kind of an amusing turn on the.
Well, let's talk about that. How do you see this? Like, I mean, that was a crazy preview at the end of this week's episode for next week. And how do you sort of see the dynamic between Paula and Ty's budding romance affecting her in the game? Because I do think that might come up. Considering that she's so solidly with the veterans and with Johnny,
Yeah.
and considering that like Emily and Ty are obviously going to be on the bottom of Johnny's list, I mean, I think that is going to be a factor.
Well, it is a factor. I mean, look what happened to Laurel last season when she started making out with CT.
CT, yep.
Everyone's like, "Oh, you've turned on the alliance because you're making out with CT." When I actually saw in the preview that, Paula and Ty were kissing, I thought, "Well, this is going to be fun when Paula and Dunbar have to go against Ty and Emily in the dome next
And
week."
inevitably, I feel like, yeah, that's very likely to happen, that scenario.
Yeah, I think so, because if it comes down to, there's four teams left, and Johnny's not throwing himself in, CT's not throwing himself in, and if it's between those four teams, and the other two teams are Emily, Ty, Paula Dunbar, I think that would be a great final dome before the three-way final.
Completely. I mean, there was a lot in that preview. I mean, did you see the whole thing where like Emily was defending herself, telling Ty that she wasn't racist, and then the
Yeah.
challenges look crazy? They were all wearing like wedding outfits almost, I think I saw.
Yeah, they definitely look like they're wearing some sort of wedding dress, like wedding dresses, and maybe the guys were wearing tuxes that were kind of falling off. The racist thing definitely is interesting. I noticed Emily right after the preview was tweeting, defending herself, saying she's not racist, pointing out that she did date a Ty. She's like, if I was racist, then I wouldn't have Ty as an ex. So I'm curious to see what sparks that. Is it like a drunken joke? Is it Ty taking something out of context? Or maybe it's one of the other teams putting something in Ty's ear to try to split them up.
For sure. I cannot say a bad word about Emily. I certainly think it was probably taken out of context.
I agree. I watched her for the whole season of Real World. I think it was DC, Washington DC, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
And
I'm confusing that one in Brooklyn, but I think it was
I'm pretty
DC.
sure she was DC with
Yeah.
Ty. And she, nothing did she do there. It seemed like she was a racist in any way. And I'm pretty sure that if it's gonna come out, it's gonna come out in the Real World season over the
Oh
challenge, maybe.
yeah, definitely,
So.
because they don't have time to do all that stuff. What I want to talk about is, there was something on tonight's episode that I thought really stood out, and that was that amazing, amazing video package that they played about how Abram goes crazy when he faces elimination. I mean, I adore Abram. Abram is probably one of my favorite challenge competitors. Every time that I see that he is going to be in a challenge, I know it's going to be a good one. I remember, I forgot what challenge it was. I think it was like an Inferno or something where he had this amazing feud with Katie Doyle, and that combination was my favorite. That was actually my favorite challenge. So I just love the guy. Like when he was beating down Ty, I know he ended up losing the final challenge or the final dome, but after he won the first round and he just screamed at Ty to like stay down,
That was awesome.
fantastic, fantastic television. Abram is fantastic. I think Cara Maria is fantastic. I think that they sort of add a new element to the challenge, which I like to see because they're so different and so off the wall.
It's true. They're a little bit they're not they're a little bit crazy, but fun crazy. And I like the relationship. I kind of tweeted that's like an I would like to see Nicholas Sparks. I don't know who that's the guy who writes these
Yeah, the
stupid.
notebook, the notebook.
Yeah, I would like to see him write a book on those two because it'd be funny. Because it'd be like this crazy romance. But I love Abram. I think, but we kind of me and Liz were talking about this in a couple earlier podcasts. We both felt that maybe Abram wasn't 100% into this season. It felt like earlier in the season he was kind of like didn't really want to be there, and he wasn't giving it his all. That did.
I heard you talk about that. And well, I mean, the thing is, Abram is one of those guys, like I feel like he's one of those guys where when he's at school, he doesn't really do any of the essays and he doesn't really do any of the homework, but then when it's time for the exam, he like crams all night. And similarly, I feel like when he goes into a dome, that's when you see him at his best. And even though it didn't work out, I mean, he still came through in the way that I thought he would. I mean, ultimately, it all comes down to how you perform when it's challenge time. And like, while he might not have seemed that way in the day-to-day practices of the house, I think that at challenge time, he always came through.
It's true. He's a tough competitor, and he turned it on when he needed to. It just maybe wasn't enough this week. It's kind of sad because the minute I saw that it was
Yeah, that challenge.
the
Yeah, it was
challenge,
awful.
he
Yeah.
didn't have. You knew that Emily was gonna beat Cara Maria, and you knew Abram was gonna be in tough because Ty. Well, people are keep talking about how he gasses out. He does have probably 30, 40 pounds on Abram.
I still think Abram could have beat him. I mean, you saw the condition that like Ty was in at the
It's
end of it.
true.
I think it was just a matter of like positioning on that final round. I mean, I actually that's another reason why I love this episode, because I thought that it was very exciting. Because as you said, I mean, it was obvious that Emily was going to be Cara Maria. I thought it was obvious that Abram was going to be Ty, and I thought it was all going to come down to that coin toss. So I thought it was a great, great matchup. I mean, I don't think we're going to get a matchup of that caliber again up until the finale, where we finally see this like CT and Johnny showdown.
I'm really curious to see like I felt like there wasn't enough CT in this episode. I like when CT is, gets his little talking heads and does his thing, but
Oh, that was another thing in the preview, though. That was a great scene between him and Diem on that bus or
Oh
whatever.
yeah.
It was a great, great preview. I mean, I think that like
It's
the
weird
show
how
is
the
finally.
preview was more interesting in a lot of ways. Even though we talk about great the episode was, that preview was just like the fact that there's only what, 4 episodes left. And I'm thinking, how can they cram all that goodness in just 4 more episodes?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've seen highlights of that. I think they played that in the end of the like first episode, like what to expect this season. So obviously, I mean, a seasonal sort of preview like that is obviously going to be better than any episode because it's taking the best of every remaining episode. But that being said, I think it's taken a while for this challenge to sort of find its stride and find its voice, and I think that it's finally starting to. The thing I don't like about these challenges is, the sort of you have to get past the first few episodes where they get rid of the new teams, and it's so painstaking. It's like watching the auditions on American Idol where you have to do it because it's part of the show, but you know what's going to happen.
It's true, but I have to give them credit. maybe it's not credit, but the West, the fact that they went after Wes early was smart. I think, they didn't just go after the newbies, so it did kind of throw a little twist earlier in the season, which, normally you'd see, newbie. There was newbie Wes, newbie, so.
Yeah. Well, that whole West thing was, yeah, that completely threw me for a loop. I thought there was no way he would go in over rookies, you know?
So yeah, that was, I feel like that was a good, good move by Johnny and Camilla. I've been picking for Johnny and Camilla the whole season, but there is a little this episode really kind of showed some weakness in their armor. Do you think this is a temporary glitch, or do you think this is a serious problem?
Not even temporary. I think this might be like, the one episode that they had a fight that they just like blew up because it's the only chance editors have. This was the only time they got into something. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind that there's no problem with them. Believe it or not, I actually hung out with Camilla right after the challenge filmed. I was in New York for the Amazing Race finale and I met up with her and Laurel. It was my first time meeting Camilla. And I also believe that, they present her as this like fiery Brazilian spark plug, but she's, she is also very like low key and down to earth. And the point that I want to bring up here is, remember in last week's episode where she was the one that had that girl chat with Rachel, where Rachel threw Robin under the bus. Now, my question to you is not about that, but wouldn't Camilla have to be a good listener to get Rachel to confide that in her, knowing that her partner is Johnny, who Rachel doesn't like, that speaks volumes about the kind of listener that Camilla is.
It's true. It's Camilla's a tough person to pinpoint. I'm still like she's done pretty well in the challenges. She seems pretty smart, but like I still have some doubts. Like, is she gonna be? She hasn't won yet. Is she gonna be able to do like? They've been talking about this final challenge. Like, it's tougher than the toughest challenge they've ever had. And I do have some doubts. Can she win this? I don't have doubts about Johnny because he's done this before. But can she keep up with Johnny? Will be the like, and I hope she can because I don't want it to be
A blowout.
a blowout. And I feel like she can, but it's really good that final episode. If she can do it, then I feel like that really, that'll be a testament to, the fact that people kind of have underrated her throughout much of her challenge career, if you will.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, the one thing that sucks, is like I said before, I mean, now we're getting to the point where it's becoming more and more obvious who's gonna go next, And obviously, I think that Rachel and Anissa and Paula and Dunbar and teams like that are now in trouble. And what that means is, I hope that we still get the excitement. I mean, I know we're gonna get it in like all the other stuff based on that preview, but I hope that the challenges are just as entertaining as tonight's were, because I feel like now it's just like waiting for the inevitable. And I hope that the appetizers are gonna be as good as the main course.
It's true. There could be a couple down episodes just seeing the bottom two teams go, and then that last fight. I mean, the episode before the final is always good in my opinion because it's the two teams are so close to the money. But you're right. The next two episodes could be kind of weak if it just be if it's if there's no twists. If like I think it would be great if like somehow CT and DM had to go in, they lose, and then they triumph over, Paula Dunbar or whatever. I think that would
But
be
you know
kind
that's
of.
not going to happen, though.
Well, no, but I mean, they might go in and then win, right? Like it could happen.
I think it's very unlikely that CT and DM or Johnny and Camilla go in at all.
I know. I'm just kind of hoping that some twist happens where they lose the challenge, they finish last in the challenge, and then go in and then take
Oh,
out.
I see what you mean. Okay, yeah, now I understand what you're saying. Sorry, yeah, I should clarify because I meant that there's very little doubt that they get picked to go, but you're right, they could easily lose a challenge and be forced to go, which is a good point. Yeah.
I think that would be an interesting because like if CT and DM are forced to go in, and then maybe that helps them kind of they might need that actually to kind of get through the final because they're fighting and they're bickering. Maybe winning a dome will help unite them and push them to victory.
No, I agree. I totally agree. I'm just still like just reveling in how good the episode was.
It
It
was
really
great.
was. It was fantastic. Like on a night when there's, you know, Wednesday is the biggest night in reality, and you know, for it to be, you know, the best reality show of the night, I mean, that speaks volumes. You know, I mean, Idol is picking its like top 24 tonight, you know, Survivor's second episode, and I just felt like tonight, Battle of the Exes had the best episode by far. And I think that it's all rooted in that fantastic challenge. Let's talk a little bit about that. Like,
Okay.
how great are the challenges? This show is revolutionary in terms of like how great its challenges are. I feel like every other competitive show steals from MTV's challenges.
Well, it's true. I mean, the Survivor, you know, that duel was stolen exactly from the duel. And I can't blame them for doing it because, you know, it was a great idea. You know, sometimes I feel like they depend a little bit too much on the heights issue, but it works. Like, you know, I've talked about this with Liz. It's like, you know, we're like, why do they keep doing the heights? But it works. It freaks people out, you know, and that puts people a little bit on edge. It creates conflict.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, that's a good point. I mean, I would like to see them do something where it's like more, you know, strategic, like one of those challenges where they have to play that game where everybody stands on a tile and you have to flip your tile over when you move to the next one, and then the last person who has a tile to stand on wins. Like, I would love to see something like that. Because I think that that would even the odds.
It does. You know, those are interesting in Survivor where they do that because it really kind of shows the alliances where, like,
You
you
know,
know,
two people could block somebody else out.
yeah, it would be interesting to do that early in the game where the teams, you know, nobody, people are just filling each other out. And then all of a sudden you see, you know, Johnny and Camilla going after Rachel and Nisa. And this is way before. And, you know, like, that would be an interesting thing to do next season.
Well, you know what's interesting about that too is like, did you notice when Camilla was having her freak out? Did you notice that Johnny was basically talking to Rachel and Anissa at the table like nothing happened last week?
It's tough because we don't know how long, like what the gap is, obviously. Like it could have been like a week long gap, it could have been like 2 days.
I have reason to believe that the challenges are, it's a very short filming period. I
That
think
would
it's
make
like,
sense.
yeah, like I think it's a month tops.
That would make sense. Obviously, it's, you know, it would cost a lot of money to rent out, you know, areas of this resort they're staying at for 3 months. Like that's a lot of money. Whereas, you know, the challenge doesn't quite have the budget of The Amazing Race or Survivor or American Idol, so it probably is doing it as quickly as it can
Yeah, and
without
I
a.
think that they also don't film every day. Like, I think that there's weekends where they just don't send a crew in.
That's true. I mean, you know, they probably do need to give them a break, and then, you know, they send them out drinking and.
Yeah, and that's different from all the other shows where it's nonstop. Big Brother, Survivor, the cameras keep rolling. So I do think that that feud, you know, no matter how like hyped it is, I'm sure it was mitigated pretty quickly.
It's true. I mean, you're stuck in a house with somebody. And I, as I said, I think I talked about this with Liz last week. I feel like that feud was Johnny played up that feud as an excuse to throw in a team he was going to throw in anyway. Because it made sense for him to throw in a Rachel and Lisa regardless of some past feud with her. So he just kind of used that as an excuse, which makes total sense. But I don't want to, I know you're a really busy guy. So I just have one last question for you. It's not exactly challenge related. But it is real world related. I was walking around downtown Toronto, and I was just thinking, why is there not a real world Toronto?
Oh, I can answer that pretty quickly. It's definitely an immigration thing. However, as you know, they did the Real World Paris.
Yeah.
You know, so there is definitely something about Canada, where the major reality shows, I know that it's a cost issue, an immigration cost issue. That's why some shows are allowed to do Canadian versions. The Bachelor Canada was just announced. You know, they
Yeah.
used to have Canadian Idol, and so you think you can dance Canada, but other ones, it's a cost issue. That's ultimately what it comes down to. And the other thing that I know is, remember that back in the day, as we all know, the Real World was the first like major reality show. Toronto had the Lofters on like
Oh,
Toronto 1 or
yes.
whatever, and I think that there was also, from what I remember, there might have been a conflict between that and the Real World. I mean, I'm not too versed on the details, but I remember there was also that guy. You remember Susie that was on the Real World? There was a guy named like Shane who was also on the Real World, and he was from Canada. So I think that like as long as you have dual, just like, you know, on Survivor, if you have
Yeah.
a dual American and Canadian citizenship, you can be on the show.
Yeah.
But I think it's a much bigger ball of wax to actually film a real world here. That's not to say that I don't think it'll happen. I do think it'll eventually happen. It's just a question of like when. I don't think the real world is going anywhere.
No, I don't think so either. But I feel like I'm not as excited about the real world as I am about the challenges.
I actually like the real world more, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah, I like the lifestyle kind of like shows. You know, the real world I think has always been a very beautiful concept. I think that it's very pure. It's completely contingent on the cast. But if they pick the right cast, like they did with Vegas 2, like with Heather and Dustin, and then like that was an amazing season, you know.
It was an MVP season.
So I like that. You know, I like this because it gives you more of their interaction where the challenge. It has to be cut into all these different segments. You know, opening segment, they're at a party recovering from the last challenge. Then they go into segment two where they do a little bit of politics. Then they go into like, you know, the actual challenge and then the deliberation. And it's very like, bam, you know, scene A, B, C, D, you know, and then wrap. And I don't like that formulaic sort of television. One question that I had for you
Okay.
is what did you think about TJ? Basically saying that they should continue to throw Emily and Ty into the dome because they're so strong. I mean, talk about unobjective hosting.
But TJ's done that kind of stuff before.
He has, especially when teams quit. You remember, I think was it Brandon that was like drinking that one time?
I can't remember, but I can't remember exactly, but he has basically, I wouldn't say he's talked people into throwing people in the challenge, but he has, he's not Jeff Probst, who plays the, Jeff Probst does have his favorites, but he tries to stay unbiased. TJ has his opinions and he's gonna talk about them, and I don't blame him. That's his role. I think he's more interesting when he does that than when he just kind of
I
sits
agree.
there.
No, I thought it was certainly a little bit controversial. And I think that like Ty and Emily, when they like raised their eyebrows at the comment, I think that they certainly had the right to be offended.
It is interesting because I read all these tweets about how it seems that Leroy, who I follow, a lot on Twitter, is really good friends with TJ, and they do yoga together and all this stuff. And I kind of thought it was interesting because I know, not to go back to Jeff Probst, but he has had relationships with ex-survivors, but they're not going to be on that show again. It is interesting that the host is friends with some or maybe all of these
Right. Yeah, but the
people.
dynamic is different though, I think that you know, I mean, ultimately, it's not I mean, it is to a degree that they vote other people off, but ultimately it comes down to themselves winning challenges, you know, and I think that that's a good point because regardless of how tight TJ is with one team, whereas he isn't with another, he can't really go in there and push them off a suspended bridge, you know? So it comes out it's ultimately up to them.
Okay, well let's wrap things up. I do want to say thanks to Mertz Jaffer, and you could follow him at Mertz Jaffer, MURTZ, or Z for Americans, JAFFER, and check him out on InsidePulse.com and Toro Magazine. What's the website for Toro Magazine, Mertz?
Toromagazine.com.
Okay, well, I was going to guess that, but I didn't want to step on any toes. And maybe we can get you back for maybe a season recap, or maybe we could preview the finale together because this was great. And I love talking to you. You give us some great knowledge.
Sounds good. I look forward to it.
Thanks a lot, Mertz. Thanks again for listening. Follow us on Twitter at WeAreChallenged. And if you have any questions or comments, please email us at wearechallenged@gmail.com. See you next week.